Welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. Video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer. Hey everybody, and welcome to the H2MMO Podcast. I'm your host, Mike B., where we have video game reviews, MMO news, and more. Today is Empire Strikes Back. No, wait, that's wrong. Today's the 25th of April, Sunday the 25th of April. And this is episode 5, that's why it's Empire Strikes Back. And joining us today, as always, is our lead blogger, Brett S.
Howdy.
And Brandon Y.
How's it going?
Hey, so what has everybody been up to lately in the world of video gamery?
Well, not much.
Yeah, there's not much going on out there this month.
Yeah. I beat Red Steel 2, which was awesome. And after 2 years of owning it, I finally beat Castle Crashers. So.
What the hell is Castle? What's Cash? I can't even say it. Cashew Crackers. What's Cashew Crackers?
Cashew. It was the top selling Xbox Live Arcade game ever, as far as I know. It's that little 4-player. Hack and slash game that the Behemoth Studios made. Like they did the Alien Hominid game, and they're big on Newgrounds. It's actually being ported over to the PS3, but it was a huge deal when it came out. It won awards, and people loved it, and etc.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a great game, though. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, all right. Well, I got Fat Princess off the PlayStation Network.
Yeah,
I haven't played that too much, but it's funny.
Fat Princess.
That's fun.
You've never heard of that, Brandon?
I have not.
It's basically just kind of like a big a battleground kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
One team's got a castle and another team's got a castle, and you've got a princess in each castle, and basically you have to steal the other team's princess. And in order to make that harder, you can actually feed your princess cake and make her fat. so that when they pick her up and they try to run off, they're running really slow.
That's
so
funny.
It is. It's a very cute, funny game, but it's
yeah. And for what system is that?
PlayStation 3.
Yeah, you can get it off the PlayStation Network, but it's also coming out for PSP this month, I think.
Fat Princess?
Yeah, there's a version of it at least. I don't know exactly what it is.
Oh, I wonder how that's gonna work.
Good question.
Oh, that's kind of cool. All right, well, let's jump right into it then. Let's see, what are we doing for reviews today? I'm going to talk about Dragon Age Origins Awakening.
I was going to be doing Splinter Cell Conviction.
Oh, okay. Brandon?
I'll go Supreme Commander 2.
Cream Commander 2?
Sure, why not?
Oh my god.
I won't tell you where I got that one from.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So again, it's Supreme Commander 2.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. And as you can tell, it's a sequel to original Supreme Commander, where you're one of three races. The humans, UEF, alien race of light beings, and an sort of alien bug race. So, one of three races. It's a giant battle strategy game, so pick your place on the map, you build up your fighting force, and you defend and fight the other guys. It's just like every other fighting game, except this one is your main central unit, your base, your capital building, is a giant robot, the Supreme Commander bot.
Cool.
And you walk him around, he builds stuff, he goes off and fights, you tell him what to do, he does it. And you can upgrade him in ways that if he does get destroyed, say a nuclear missile hits him directly, instead of him completely destroying, he can eject his capital pod out and go back to the starting point and build up a new bot. And hey, you're still going.
That's good. Does he transform into a large semi? Or maybe
no.
A large gun, a handgun?
No.
Oh.
But there are large guns and larger mechs that, as they walk, they shake the entire map.
Oh, cool. All right, and that's for PC, right? They have it not up.
Yeah, that is PC game.
Yeah.
So it's a really great LAN game. It is very graphics intensive, so if you have an older graphics card, it's not going to work. It's going to freeze up on you as soon as the real battle starts going.
When you say older graphics card, like how old?
Oh, a 6800, a GeForce 6800, which is only a couple years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be able to handle it. You have to go to something that's like a 74 or one of the new G300s or 200s.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, most of the new video cards are out in the HD series or whatever. Isn't that what everybody's doing right now?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, what's your favorite race to play, Brandon?
I like the humans. They have just because they have some nice cannons that shoot clear across stage and bombard from across the stage. Those ones I really like to play. Next up, I have to say it's the light race, the Illuminati. They their vehicles is just one building unit, so it's you build from the ground or the air. You can have normally the races have three building units: ground, air, and water. But for this race, their ground can also go over water, so that makes it simple.
So they can build on land or water.
Yeah, so if you build like little tanks to go off and fight, they can just get across the water.
Oh, they hover.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All their units hover?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that would be if you built a base and you left your water side open, that would be a little disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, the insect race is also, that's the one that my brother likes to play a lot.
Mhm.
Their watercraft, as soon as they get to land, they transform into giant bugs. They walk out on land and they're bombarded. Vehicles, massive size bombard vehicles that do a lot of damage. So,
is the third race a technologically advanced race of aliens? Because it sounds a lot like StarCraft. You got your bug race, you got your humans that hover.
Close to it, yeah. Yep.
You mean somebody's taking an idea that works and is trying to capitalize on it?
Well, again? We all know that StarCraft 2 isn't out yet, which it should have been out 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Although I did play the beta a little bit. That was fun.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
And?
It's very good. I don't know if I like it more than the first one yet because, you know, I haven't played the full game, but it was fun.
How did you get in the beta?
I have magic fingers.
Well.
Which makes no sense at all, I realize.
Whatever. I'll buy that.
I forget how I did. I signed up for it so long ago that I guess I was one of the lucky few.
Well, speaking of the beta, I'm actually looking at one of the Stargate betas right now.
Oh, really? Are we back to, save that.
Yep.
Save that for the MMO news.
Yep, I will.
Because I'm interested in hearing about that again. So, Supreme Commander 2, that's cool. All right, what's your overall rating on that one? Up, down, left, right, 1, 10.
I want to go with a 7. I mean, it's a good way to waste a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
You will burn off hours pretty fast.
I might need to check that out because I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, it's really good. Like I said, my brother and I, we enjoy playing group games like this. So it is a good one. It doesn't rake up there with Empire Earth.
Well, you guys have a long-standing love affair with that game.
Well, as we call it, a quick one with Empire Earth normally lasts about 12 hours.
Oh.
Good lord.
That's a quick game. So.
Oh, thanks.
Well, how long do the Supreme Commander games run? How long do these matches go?
Depends on your difficulty of the computer. You got your easy or normal, you got hard, which when they say hard, they mean hard. They have cheater, which, all right. They finally admitted it, that their computers cheat. And it's the difficulty above hard. That is what we normally play, and that takes us, like I said, taking on two will take us about 5 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And then there's one more level above that, which is cheat or turtle. So basically you're going to get nerfed down in your build speed, and he gets sped up.
Oh, wow.
So just one of those cheat or turtles will
is
take
this
on
like
three
a,
people.
Is this like a Ninja Gaiden level of cheating, like where they actually send a ninja to your house and kill you, or... Like that. That game is insane. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's
close to it. You're still building up your defenses. I mean, you just started building defenses while he's already got armed forces coming at you in hordes.
That reminds me of that that magazine, which is very informative about games. Every year they do.
And sure, we can say the names, but
we could, but why? Every year they do an April Fool's insert, and one of the articles they had was that Ubisoft, in order to take their digital control rights or whatever, or digital rights management, a step further, when you purchase a game now, they're going to be sending an Ubi buddy home with you.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he's going to sit there and watch as you play all your Ubisoft games.
Well, you know what's funny about that? You heard about their newest DRM policy,
which is
have a constant internet connection, and if you lose the connection for even a second, you lose your game.
You've talked about that.
Their servers went down. Their servers crashed, and people were without access to their games for quite some time.
Oh, that's fantastic!
And I laughed. I laughed like an idiot. That's one of the worst ideas for, you know, anti-piracy I've ever heard. I know it's probably effective, but it just they keep burning more bridges with their gamers, and I just don't know how it's a viable option, you know?
Well,
but anyway, I digress.
If the community decides that it's not worth it anymore to give that company their money, then I think, Ubisoft is heading for some trouble. The only thing that they can do is the only thing that the gaming community can do is to vote with their wallets. And if they do that, then maybe that will make Ubisoft sit up and take notice. A lot of us don't like any of the digital rights management and stuff that are currently, on video games. And it goes back to the days when you had some games still do this, where you enter the code when you buy it.
Yeah.
And when you install the game. I mean, and that's kind of okay, because if you don't have the code, you can't play the game. But so much stuff now is going to no CD.
Right.
Said no CD, not OCD.
That's what I have.
Ubisoft is OCD. with the no CD stuff, they're going to have either some kind of online account, which I guess is what Ubisoft is trying to do and failing.
Yep.
Or they're going to have to find another way to do it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this riddle. Really, I don't. Because we want publishers out there making games, but we don't want them to do it in a way that it's no fun to play. That's defeats the entire purpose.
Well, here's the thing. Something like that, I don't know how a pirate could get around it. There are many ways. Basically, the more ways they find to combat piracy, the more ways pirates find to get around them. I'm not saying game companies should not be trying to fight piracy, because of course they should. They're losing money on it. I just think that when they're taking steps to fight piracy that are hurting their own loyal customers, that's when a line needs to be drawn.
Well, there's a saying in programming: you make a better idiot-proof system, the world will make a better idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And this game has been going on since the advent of video games, and no one has come out with a solution that works all the time yet anyway.
True.
And I don't, like I said, I don't know the answer to this riddle. I don't know where they're going to have to go. I don't know what they're going to have to turn to in order to make this work for both sides.
There's no middle ground. That's the problem. And there's not going to be. It's going to be difficult for these game companies, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, well, cool. So a Supreme Commander 7. That's kind of weird. A 7? That's a little low.
Well, I don't think the game progression, mm-hmm. As you go through technology, they could have done a lot more. I think it's my issue with a lot of these strategy games. I like Empire Earth where you have to start from scratch and build your way up.
Right.
And there's just not enough evolutionary prospect to the game.
Well, a lot of games that aren't Empire Earth aren't going to have that many, technology stages or technologies to research. I mean, and StarCraft didn't.
No, and StarCraft wasn't one of the originals to begin with. It just expanded from there. I mean, they just need to... You've got to give more to the game, more to the story, more to the advancement. And once you get to three levels in, okay, that's all there is. I'll go finish your game.
For Supreme Commander.
Yeah, well, that's how StarCraft is, too, normally. You normally go up three tech trees, and then you're done. Then you're like, okay, I'm maxed out, so let's go kick some...
some booty.
Alien booty, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's cool. All right. So Supreme Commander running in about a 7. Lots of nice time to waste with your LAN buddies. Cool. Brandon. No.
You mean Brett.
Brett.
Hello.
I'm awake today. What are you going to review for us today?
Well, after you have some coffee, I'm going to review Splinter Cell Conviction.
Awesome, sweet. I'll go. You know what? Tell you what. You start talking. I'll go make some coffee.
Oh, I will.
Okay. I'm awake. Well, I'll listen.
Okay. Good job. Good job, Brandon. Well, I've always been a fan of the series, you know, ever since the first one, and I think they've gotten better and better up until the last game, Double Agent, which I just wasn't a fan. The new one, when they announced it, they kind of said it's going to be a brawler, it's going to be an action game, and people kind of collectively clenched their bums. But the game came out, and people bought it, and people loved it, and it was actually a really fantastic game because there's still plenty of stealth. There's still plenty of the great story that the series has with the option of if you want to play it as an action game, you can. There's also – they have a ton of multiplayer modes, which I was a huge fan of the co-op story mode. There's a little co-op story mode that takes about, I don't know, 3 hours. It's actually a prequel to the game, the actual story's – the game's story, and it had an ending that I did not expect and was very surprised at, but it was very, very compelling. Michael Ironside returns as our lovable Sam Fisher, and as usual, he screams and he sounds awesome, and the game itself actually had a lot of good voice casting. Some of the people I recognized and some of them I didn't, but just top-notch voice acting and everything like that. Music
over the last year has been sick. It's been so good.
Oh yeah.
And in so many games, like even in games where you wouldn't expect it or whatever, you get great voice acting performances.
Most definitely.
So anyway,
there was a particular part in the story where Sam is screaming at somebody, and I was like, oh god, just do what he says. He's gonna, you know, just the way he was screaming was actually kind of terrifying.
Nice.
You know, it's Michael Ironside. But, you know, the game is I really enjoyed it. I thought it was possibly the best in the series. It got me revved up to play the other games too. So I went to a new place that's not the Stop for Games. How do I cleverly disguise this place? You go to Trade and Play Games in. Maybe that'll help. But it was not a good shopping experience. The guy didn't know what he was doing. The things were mislabeled in the store, mispriced. You know, they tried to charge me $8 for the games so that were in the dollar bin. So I won't be going back there. But I got two classic Splinter Cell games, and I've been playing them because of this game. And I'm looking forward to the next game in the series because there definitely will be. The ending was amazing, by the way. Great.
Oh, that's cool. Who is that singing in the commercial on TV? Is that Johnny Cash?
That was Johnny Cash, and it's not in the game, but I thought that was a great commercial. You know,
it is. It is. It's a good commercial. I was angry that they didn't have the Bill Withers Ain't No Sunshine and Dante's Inferno.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, games nowadays, the game company gets advertised. Well, for even with the original Gears of War commercial, turned a lot of heads because it had the Mad World song, and people thought it was great. And of course, that wasn't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Anyone seen the new Gears of War 3 trailer?
Oh, I have. I've been talking to Microsoft with it. I have contacts in Microsoft, and we've been talking about it.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And?
It's good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it looked incredible.
It's going to be good for the third one in the series. If anyone hasn't played Gears of War, get off your lazy butts and go play them, both 1 and 2.
We're looking
sit
at
down
you,
with Mike. Sit down with a friend and play it. It is
I don't
good.
Have an Xbox.
Well, we live just up the road from you. Come here.
I'm not giving in to the man.
We're just up the road from you. Come on.
Give it to the man. Give it to
the man. All right. Yeah, I need to at some point get an Xbox or borrow one and play some of the games.
We'll talk about the Xboxes.
I want to play Gears of War and Fable and a couple other titles.
You should definitely play some Castle Crashers, too.
Okay.
If I don't know if Brandon has that, but I have it if not.
It's not one I have.
Download the demo and man, make Mike play it with you. But anywho, the game overall, I mean, I thought about it, and it deserves a 9 out of 10. It's not perfect. The only thing I think I'd really complain about is that it's really short. I sat down Friday morning, started it up, and I'd beaten the entire story and the co-op story, which is collectively about 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I beat it in one day, both story modes. Wow. I thought that was a little – but the thing is it's got a lot of replay value because there's a ton of multiplayer and co-op stuff. And, you know, it's got a really neat – you know, the Xbox 360 and the PS3 have their own achievement systems, achievement/trophies. And there's an interior reward system in there as well. You get – money to buy to upgrade weapons and your equipment and your suits and things like that. So there's a lot of incentive to play the game tons of times, and it's just overall a fantastic game.
Okay, well, good. This month was a very dry month, and
it was. It really was. Next month is good.
You know what? I don't even know what's coming out next month, but I'm glad we got at least one really good title out this month.
I can tell you.
What?
I can tell you.
Oh, I thought you said you can kill me. I was like, no, can't.
But no, we have a lot of games. Some mostly are sequels. You know, that's just how it is nowadays. But I'm looking forward to Alan Wake, which is by the creators of Max Payne. And you got your 3D Dot Game Heroes, which I'm going to talk about later. You got your Red Dead Redemption. The new Prince of Persia game, which, holy crap. You got your Lost Planet 2. Oh, and of course, how can I forget Super Street Fighter 4?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I'm getting.
Alright, well that's okay, good. I'm looking forward to a lot of those titles. Is it my turn now?
It is.
Org. I'm going to talk about Dragon Age Origins Awakening. The game, like on Metacritic, I think it's got like an 82. Of course, this is the...
I'm hearing it's not as good as the original.
Well, yeah, that's true. The original one, and this might have something to do with the whole game balance and everything else, but the original one was, I think it was a fresh look at RPGs. BioWare, you know, they did I think, you know, they tend mostly to do, you know, the futuristic stuff.
Yeah.
And so this was I don't know if it was their first foray, but it was certainly a major foray back into the, you know, swords and sorcery. Kind of RPG, and
they had Baldur's Gate.
Well, yeah, that's true. Baldur's Gate. How could I forget that? bad nerd, bad. The setting was good. The world was well defined. There was a lot of lore. I'm still, you know, as I play the original through more, I'm not too fussed over their. I'm not too excited about the whole. Their leveling system or their skill system. I think maybe they could have done a better job with that. And that's, you know, playing through it again, increasing the difficulty and playing a different class. But if you play the game on easy and you have a sword and shield warrior, you're not going to have that many problems. Period.
Yeah.
Just period. The expansion, Awakening, I had a It was very nice to return to Ferelden, to return to the Dragon Age Origins world. It was really nice. It was really cool. I got to pick up my main character again, and I got to go kick some butt. Really enjoyed that. My main character is a female human noble sword and shield warrior, and basically she can just plow through anything.
Right.
Okay, well, let me just tell you what happened. I get the game. I'd had it on pre-order. I stick the game in, and it says, hey, do you want to create a new character, or do you want to import one? I'm like, I want to import. So I import my character. She was wearing the dragon armor, the downloadable dragon armor.
Yeah, which was actually in Mass Effect as well, too.
Because that's what you need, is some plate mail in Mass Effect.
Well, it's futuristic plate mail.
Oh, okay. So what happened, the game loads up, and then my tune, and then this other tune, they're walking up this path, and of course the one's talking, and my tune is naked. She's wearing her little medieval panties and bra, and she's got a sword and a shield, and she's naked, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna die.
Oh wow.
So I don't know what happened with that. So we start going through the opening sequence of the game, and she's fighting like she's got armor on. I mean, things are hitting her, but, you know, she's not taking any damage. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So for like 20 minutes, I'm playing with my tune. You know, and she's a nice-looking tune. She's nice to look at. But that's not the point. We're going through, we're fighting, I'm picking up party members. I get my initial party, and we go through, and we beat the first area. And then right before we finish that whole first area, her arms lock up. So, like, if you know, like a Barbie doll, if, you know, your arms are sticking out, you know, from your sides, like, they're sticking out in front of you, you know, in that forklift kind of position. So my tune is going through all these, you know, cut scenes at the end of this, the first sequence, and she's got her arms, and they're too skinny. The arms are too skinny. They're sticking out, you know, Barbie doll style, and she's naked. So I was a little upset with that.
There's a glitch that's been going around, and people have been laughing about and posting videos about with Mass Effect 2, mm-hmm. where a character will, like a bad guy will die, but they will continually scream for like hours at a time after they're dead. So it sounds kind of funny like that.
Nice. So they put all this time and this money into this game, and then from the very get-go... You know, I have, you know, two bugs that I have to contend with in the first 20 minutes of the game. That kind of, you know, put me off. The second thing was that the story was kind of messed up for me from the beginning. At the end of Dragon Age Origins, my main character died. She sacrificed herself so that Alistair... spoiler alert! If you haven't played Dragon Age Origins to the end, here's how it ends. She sacrificed herself so that Alistair could go on and be king. The Grey Wardens are the only ones that can kill an archdemon, the big dragon at the end. And when they kill the archdemon, it kills the Grey Warden who landed the killing blow. And that's because the Grey Wardens have the taint in them, the tainted blood. My character died. Dude, there was a funeral in the game. You know, and Alistair, the king, you know, gave me the eulogy. So I get to play Awakening, and at the end of the first sequence, because my character, in my story, my character and Alistair were to wed, you know, after the whole blight thing, but she died. And so after I get through the first sequence or whatever, and then I've got some, you know, some manky armor on, and I've, you know, got a sword and everything, who comes walking through the front door in some golden white armor but Alistair, and he's like, oh, hi, honey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm dead. Don't kiss me. You're a zombie. I'm a zombie. Everybody's a zombie. Somebody's a zombie. And so the story was... They didn't offer any explanation.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. Which is strange because, and I keep referring to Mass Effect 2 and 3, and I apologize, but Mass Effect...
No, same company.
Mass Effect, well, the reason I'm doing it is because Mass Effect 3 if your character is dead, because your character can die in two, he ain't going to be in three. So, you'd think that the same company responsible for both those games would have something along those lines in terms of continuation,
right,
or the lack thereof, I should say.
Right. So, it's right off the bat, within the first 30 minutes of the game, there were several things that just kind of jumped out and screamed at me. And I didn't really like it. Spoiler alert, the Darkspawn talk, some of them talk now, really didn't need that. don't want to hear them talk. The story itself is kind of okay, but it's got this, they call it awakening because some of the Darkspawn are kind of waking up. And you're kind of on the mystery of all of that. But there were some weak points in the story, like, finding out, which of the nobles are opposing you. They made it sound like it was going to be a big deal, and it wasn't. and there was one point in the game, when you went to the city of Amaranthine, man, and the first 5 minutes that you're in that city, you can make a series of decisions that just turns your game, like, sideways. Like, because my main character is a goody two-shoes, I'm almost kind of like a paladin. And I made a couple of decisions without realizing what I was, doing. It was like, oh, here's a quest, let me pick that up. And then, all of a sudden, none of the town guard will talk to me. And it's just like, you jerks. So I had to reload and go back, and it was a real pain in the butt. So, BioWare's famous for that. But
yeah,
I don't know. That really put me off. After that, the game got better. The combat is still, pretty good. It's still tactical combat. If you put your party together with, your healer and your tank and your plate wearing DPSer and then somebody else, you can still roll through, a lot of monsters and have some fun doing it. So the world was the same. The world was good. The combat was good. The story was a little like, okay. Somebody was smoking some meth when they wrote some of this, and maybe they shouldn't have been. And I don't know that the whole package was worth $40. $20? Absolutely. $30? Probably. If they'd have come in and hit the price mark, $28, $29, I think people would have been happy with it. But at $40, I feel like I paid $40 for their bugs and their bad story. And that's,
I didn't realize that much money.
That's dangerous. Well, okay, so let's look at this game. Because they're trying to pull a James Cameron, They're trying to create an IP, right?
Yeah.
So you've got the first game, which is 60. And then you've got, you got the armor for free. And then maybe one other thing for free. But there were a couple of pieces. I don't know if it was, $5 or $7. They added some downloadable content.
They were each about $10. There was probably $30 worth of extra content. Which is ridiculous.
Well, because they've got the armor, they've got the extra party member, the golem.
And then there was the actual. Wasn't there like a story mission as well, like a castle or something like that?
Yeah, to go get the castle up. There's the new castle area. Yeah.
There's the castle, which now, mind you, you go in order to get the castle, you have to go clear it.
Yeah.
So there's an inside. You go in and you go clear it. And that was tough. It was very tough doing that whole mission. There were some parts in there with some demons. Demons were flying around. There was fire and it was bad. But when you finish and you come out, you can't ever go back into the castle. Everybody's hanging around outside, and that's where your chest is that you can store your item is, and that's where the merchant is. And you don't ever go back inside the castle. Wow, Chip. So there's that. There's the fall of Ostagar, or return to Ostagar, which is the first big battle in the game.
Yeah.
So that's the first big battle against the Darkspawn. So there's a return to Ostagar, so that's downloadable content. And then you've got Awakening, which is another $40 on top of that. So you could easily, if you got everything, you know, you're easily spending $120, possibly up to $150.
It's $130 because they're each of those things you mentioned were $10 a piece.
So you're looking at $130. Now, is it worth all of that?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
No, I definitely don't think it is. And, you know, I just, we've talked about this, and I think even talked about it in the podcast, this whole episodic deal is a ripoff.
Well, if you put a $130 price tag on the game,
yeah,
put it on the shelf in the store,
it would never be sold.
I'd roll right past it. I don't care how good it is. I'm not going to spend that much money. But yet, I have.
Yeah.
Because they've... I have everything but Return to Ostagar.
What they do is they think people are going to see the $10 and think, oh, it's only $10. That's no big deal. And then they release more things for $10, and people don't realize that it adds up. It accumulates.
No,
and actually costs quite a bit of money.
I fell for it.
Yeah, and that's the way a lot of games, especially online games, are going now. You have to buy extra parts and features. I mean, it's how they're starting to make their money.
Yeah.
Especially these games where, hey, it's free to play, but once you get in there, like, oh, you have to spend money to get this or to add this on or do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tape a sticky note or an index card to the inside cover of the game, and I'm going to write down how much it costs. So every time I buy something, I'm going to just write it down and tally it up.
I might not want to see that number.
So yeah. When I get to $80 for a game, I'm just going to turn it off. Like, no more downloadable content for you.
I wish I'd done that when I bought Rock Band.
Yeah.
Rock Band. Oh my God, I spent so much money on those friggin' songs.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've gone on way too long about this. Although, you know, it's some of it's worth going on. What do we got coming up?
Well, I am excited about a little game called 3D.GameHeroes.
Say that slowly again.
3D.GameHeroes.
3D, okay. I've heard of this game.
The entire game is an homage to... Basically, it's almost a complete ripoff of Legend of Zelda, but it's done so in such a loving way that I think people will be okay with it. In fact, I guess it would have to be since it's coming out. The game is, you know, it's a throwback to those old adventure games from the 80s and the early 90s. You know, you got your character, and I mean they have items like the candle and the boomerang.
Uh-huh.
What does that sound like? What items are those from? The original
Zelda.
You know, they have the whole gimmick where if you have full health, your sword shoots things, and the funny spin that this game puts on it is that your sword grows to be like when you swing it, it's almost the entire screen. When you swing it. So it's a game that doesn't take itself very seriously, but it still looks like a hell of a lot of fun.
And now, explain the visuals on how this game is set up.
The premise of the game, and, you know, the game is just funny. The god of the world decided that the sprites needed to upgrade from 8-bit graphics, so they upgrade, but it's still pixelated, but it's 3D pixels. It's really weird. It's a very interesting design choice, and I've never really seen a game that looks like it because it's 3D pixels. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's almost like it's kind of like Legos, but not really.
Everybody's made up of these little blocks.
Yeah, right. The whole world. You know, the water, the trees, the bad guys, and it
That's
just looks
great.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, it looks.
I've seen pictures. It is so different.
And what platform is this for?
This will be for PS3.
PS3.
Uh-huh.
And it's only $40. It's just like Super Street Fighter 4. It's only $40.
Mm.
So you can pretty much get two of them for almost the price of just over the price of one, which is why I got them. But I really want to play it. You know, the Zelda games have always been my favorite series of video games, and I like the fact that it's a throwback to that and other games of that nature. And it just looks really funny. It looks like a goofy game to, you know, to kill time with, and it's cool because you can either pick from a couple dozen preset characters or you can make your own with the blocks, so that's a nice choice. I saw some gameplay footage of somebody walking around with a giant fish and killing people with it, so the weapons are obviously goofy too.
Nice. Nothing like a good thwacking with a fish.
Bring on the smelly tuna.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
And the music is very, it's a mixture of, you know, classic chiptune style music with, you know, more modern day stuff. And it's kind of over the top with the very adventurous, you know, tunes like Zelda and Mario and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. It comes out, what does it come out? It comes out, I want to say on the 13th, May 13th.
Cool.
So looking forward to that tremendously.
All right, cool, cool. Brandon, you got anything for us?
Well, one that I actually got an invitation to Friday.
Uh-huh.
It's called Stargate Resistance. It's the first Stargate PC shooter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a shooter.
It's a shooter. So it's, you know, you're the Stargate or you're the gold team. So on the Stargate team, you know, you can be, you know, a basic soldier. You get a P-90 and you go off and have at it. You know, you get the commando who's your sniper, your all-out front-up lines fighter. And then you have your scientist who does all the support. They drop your turrets. They drop nanos.
They do math. Things like that. Lots of them. They do math at people.
They do math. Then you have your Gaul. You actually have your Jaffa, and you have this one. It's almost like an assassin where she vanishes, and then she like sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden she's there, and she's having at you, right on top of you. So, I mean, so far there's three worlds to it that I've been able to play. You got Earth, you got an ice planet, and then you actually have one of the ships.
Hoth.
That's my thought. Yeah.
So. It's still in the beginnings of the design phase, but it's they've already got some expansions for three more worlds coming out for it. So it looks to be a pretty good growing game. The graphics isn't too bad so far. There's a lot to it.
Now, does this have anything to do with the MMO that they didn't come out with, or
is it... Yes, and they're actually still working on that MMO.
Uh-oh.
I thought it had been canceled.
Well, they had some money problems. I don't know that the development team wanted to cancel it, but...
No, the game is still there. They're just doing it a lot slower because of money.
Wow. And so is this the same people, or is it different people, or...?
It's actually done by someone else. It's done by FireSky, which you can also go online to firesky.com, and they're a basic online download system for games, so you can go out there and you can actually get it.
And that's firesky.com?
Firesky.com.
Okay.
Let's check that out.
Hopefully I'll have some more once I get some more into it later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see about getting my brother playing and see what he thinks as well. So we'll go from there.
Is it, I mean, the way you describe it, it sounds kind of like a Battlefield kind of game. Is it that kind of thing, or is it more of a story-driven game?
There's some storyline to it, but think of more like AVP. Online. So, Marine, Predator, and Alien. Go hunt.
Okay. That's cool. What was I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about something really weird.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what the hell you were talking about when you first mentioned it.
Okay. So, the name of this game, the full title, and I can't even say it all, is Dude Bro. My bleep is bleeped up, so I got to shoot slice you too. It's straight up dog time. So, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're not alone. There's a forum of very cynical, jaded gamers and industry insiders on the interwebs called the NeoGAF forums. You can find these guys at www.neogaf.com/forum. It's literally got thousands and thousands and thousands of members, and apparently they're all very cynical, hateful people. Somebody made a comment about playing, and I guess this was just a joke, but playing, you know, baby fashion, some baby fashion game or whatever, and so somebody made a comment about, you know, his children and his sexual orientation. And he came back and he said, so you're going to call me names because I don't want to play. Dude, bro, my bleep is bleeped up, so I got to shoot, slice you too. It's straight up dog time. And to some of the people in the community, this encapsulated all of the stereotypes that you get in an action game. And they were like, oh yeah, so they ran with the idea and they started treating this like it was a real game. What happened is some of the people at the forum took charge and they're creating a game called Dude Bro. My bleep is bleeped up, so I got to shoot or slice you too. It's straight up dog time. And the reason why it's two is because everybody knows that sequels are better. So, it's a...
Weird.
It's a top-down shooter. It has...
Is there a demo out or anything?
No, not yet.
Dang.
It has all of the stereotypes that you've come to expect in a game, in an action game, and it takes them to the extreme. You know, they've got an ultra macho main character, two in the title, even though it's not a sequel, because everybody knows that sequels are cooler. Excessive profanity and extreme immaturity. And this is just a list of stuff that they're, you know, that they're putting in the game. And why is this interesting? It sounds very immature. And it is. And they're doing it on purpose. But it's interesting because this is a community of gamers who took an idea and now they're going to make a game out of it. And we've all wanted to do this. We've all played Armchair Quarterback. We've all said, well, if I was at BioWare, if I was at Blizzard, I would make this choice and I would make things better. We all do that. Well, this is the result. You know, these guys... you know, criticize their own hobby too much, some might say, and now they've decided to make a game. So are the people that are hypercritical of the industry able to come out with anything better than the industry itself? You know, if they can, awesome. And what does that mean to the industry? If they can't, what then? You know, are we all, we're just going to take down our video game review blog and shut up? And, like, so, that's why I'm interested. I'm interested to see what happens. I'm not interested in the game so much. I'm just interested to see what's going to happen. More information on the game you can find at dudebro.wikia.com. No www. And then they've got a placeholder page at www.dudebro2.com. It's just a placeholder right now. The thing is scheduled for May 10th, or no, not May 10th, May 2010, which is next month. So I'm interested in seeing if this game is actually a flaming turd, or if there's actually any substance to it at all that's going to make the industry sit up and take notice. So that's why I'm involved in this. Or not involved, reporting on this is just for that, you know. I don't actually think I want to sit down and play this game.
I do.
So so that's me. What do we got now? MMO news. What do we got?
Well, my news isn't MMO.
Well, then you sit down, sir.
You sit down.
I am sitting down.
Yes, me too.
Brandon, did you... was that shooter what you wanted to talk about, or did you want to talk about the Stargate MMO?
Well, that's all I have right now for the MMO.
Is that it's not dead completely?
Not completely, yeah.
It's in a coma.
Yeah, it's in a coma.
Because I heard that they lost their funding, and that was that.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I think.
So.
Yeah, it's still out there. They've got it out there for investors.
Oh, okay.
They're looking for investors.
Okay. Well, maybe they can get it back on track. I know a lot of people wanted to see it. I certainly wanted them to do okay, but all right. What are we going to go with next? Are we going to go with are we going to go with funny, or are we going to go with cinema?
Well, actually, let's talk about Xbox.
You had something else, right?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
I have the Erusa Red Ring of Death.
Oh, you have it now?
That occurred last night.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So,
but before that, I started having some issues with it hosing up during the game. So you'd be playing the game, all of a sudden it would just freeze and just lock up the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that happened to me a couple times.
Well, the way that you're supposed to get around that is to go in and, you know, just go to your system cookies and delete it out on the main dashboard, which worked. That was going fine, which is what I was going to try again this time. Except when I turned it back on, I got the red ring. So I'm sending mine back to Xbox or Microsoft to have them fix it.
Yay, 56% fail rate. Yay!
I've had mine for a couple of years now, like 2 years.
Yeah, but still, you know, I had mine for, let's say, 4 years, and it crashed twice. It gave me the red ring twice.
Well, so. They did bring out the next gen already, which actually my brother has. And that actually has the fix in it for the red rings.
So which one, which version of the console is that?
The red ring or the next gen?
Yeah, the new one.
It's actually got a built-in memory chip.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that you'd be looking for. There's no real difference in it. They're just the newest one that they're selling right now. So the one that you'd find in the store is the next gen.
Okay.
You mentioned going into the system cache and clearing it.
Mm-hmm.
How does one do that?
So right on your dashboard, there's an option on there called Systems or My System. You click on that. You go down to Memory, and right before you select your hard drive or your storage space, highlight your hard drive and press Y.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, then it lets you clear out your system cache.
I'll have to do that.
Which doesn't require you to delete any of your game file data or anything like that.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Actually, good info to have, because I'm always looking to. God, my system must have a ton of crap on it.
You were gonna say shit ton.
Well, yes, but we were trying to avoid swearing, I thought, which you just did, buddy.
I said itch, bum. I don't know. All right, okay. All right, you caught me. You damn you, Moriarty.
I've been called Moriarty.
Okay, so that's how you fix. That's how you clear your cache on the Xbox 360.
Yep.
And that's supposed to prevent games from freezing up, locking up while you're playing them.
Yeah, that clears. The other thing you can do is just take off your. If you still have the issue, take off your hard drive and just load the game and see if you freeze. Then you might have a problem with your hard drive.
Mm. Okay.
But I know it's not my hard drive. I'm using it on another Xbox right now, so I know it works.
Okay. Well, that is cool. Thank you for the extremely useful tip. Okay, Brett, what do we want? We want comedy or we want film?
Yeah, let's save the comedy for last.
Okay.
Always nice to go out with a laugh.
Okay.
So, in America, on the BBC America channel, the new Doctor Who season premiered. Last Saturday. Now, I've actually been watching them as they come out in the UK, so I'm a bit ahead of the audience over here.
This isn't MMO news, sir.
Well, it's true, but I don't have any MMO news, so suck it.
So we're just going to go for cinema.
Hey, but the people who listen to this probably watch Doctor Who. I know I do.
Okay, all right. So as long as we've got some nerd cred, we're okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and talk about, you know, the new NFL football draft or anything like that. That would be a waste of air, at least for.
I was getting my hair cut yesterday and it was on, and like the dads were all gathered around the TV. And they were watching the draft, and I'm sitting there, and I just want to get my hair cut because I'm supposed to go over to a friend's house, another WoW nerd, and we were going to have a barbecue and everything, and I'm just like, I just want to get out. Just, like, get out of the barber's way. Go sit down. You can, like, tape it, TiVo it, something. Anyway, I feel the same. Please continue, sir.
I will, sir. It premiered, and the thing is, you know, we've had the same writing team directors for the past four seasons and pretty much the same doctor. I mean, we had, you know, Christopher Eccleston was the first returning doctor and he was only there for a season. And then we had three seasons and then pretty much another season of specials. So it was almost really five seasons. And the new season came on with a new writer, a new doctor, a new companion, even a new TARDIS and a new sonic screwdriver, which if you're lost, well, you probably don't watch Doctor Who.
I know what tartar sauce is, but I don't know what that has to do with the screwdriver.
He just really likes TARDIS sauce. That's all.
Okay.
But, you know, it came on, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it had a lot of promise. You know, it's always people, of course, people don't like change, so anything different people are skeptical and I would say even confrontational about. But I think we're moving in a good direction with this. You know, it was first off, the new companion, Amy Pond, played by, I think her name is Karen, I don't know how to pronounce it, but Gillan, she's gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous, and I want to marry her. So there's that. But she's actually a really enjoyable companion. You know, she's kind of a smart bum. See, I'm not swearing. She's kind of just a smart aleck, and
you can say smart ass.
Okay. You don't want to give me, you know, free rein to swear, because I'll just start busting out the C word and the F word and.
No, no, no. We don't want to do that.
I know, but I do. But you know, she's got that. She's almost a stereotypical fiery redhead.
Oh, there you go.
But in a good way. And the new Doctor is, I like his character so far. You know, he's kind of, he reminds me of the old Doctors from the 60s and 70s. He's got kind of goofy, but he's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but it just has that aura of classic Doctor. I don't like the new Sonic Screwdriver. Brandon, what do you think?
You mean his new doctor tool?
His new open up like a mouth on a predator, and it's got a green light, which is just weird. Like, I don't like it. It's
I like the original tool.
Yeah, the you know, the nice blue LED light, and it just looked really cool and futuristic and nice and simple kind of. But the new one's not very cool. The new TARDIS looks really good. You know, on the inside, it went through a change because, well, I don't know, Mike. Do you, I feel like we have to explain this for Mike.
I know, I know a little bit. I've seen, you know, a few episodes of the sci-fi, the Doctor Who that they aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
And then I've seen like the movie that they did like back in the 90s.
Oh, that was so bad.
I mean, I've always thought Doctor Who was very corny.
Oh, it is, and you know, yeah. Unfortunately, so did the head writer for the past four seasons. He tried to put a little too much corny into it sometimes, but it was still, you know, a fun run. You know, just the ending of the episode had a really awesome homage to they actually showed, you know, clips from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and all the old doctors. And, he had one of those moments where he said, he asked the aliens who were trying to destroy the Earth, you know, who am I? And they realized he was the Doctor, and he pretty much said, "You better get out of here before I kick the crap out of you, because I'm the Doctor." And then they showed, you know, they were scanning the records, so they showed all the doctors and some of the aliens he fought on Earth, and it was a really cool moment. You know, I thought it was really nice for the fans.
Well, cool, and that's on the BBC Now?
BBC or... America. Yeah.
Okay, so it's on BBC America?
Yeah. I think it runs on Saturday nights as well, which is the same night that it premieres in the UK as well, Saturday night.
Okay.
And we're only two weeks behind. There's only a two-week difference, which is much better than we usually get.
Well, that is cool.
So let's go with comedy.
Comedy. Well, it's not really comedy. It's what month is this?
April.
Fool! Oh, but anyway, I'm sorry. So everybody knows that Blizzard... And not just for WoW. So I mean, this really isn't like MMO news, but it kind of is. They do a big April Fool's Day across multiple sites. You know, one of the things that they did, you know, in the World of Warcraft, you have the Tauren race, like the big anthropomorphic cows. And in StarCraft, you have Terran Marines. So naturally, they just smashed those two things together. One, April Fool's Day, and they came up with the Tauren Marine, which was this giant cow in armor with the big machine gun. So that's some of the stuff that they do. This year, if you go to WoW.com and then you type in like the April Fool's Roundup, it'll give you all of the stuff that they've done this year, including such classic favorites as... Oh God, what is it called? I gotta read this to get this right, because if I don't, It's like calling a pencil a portable document inscriber. Blizzard said that they were going to introduce a new part of the game, and it's called the Equipment Potency Equivalence Number System. And they had, you know, the E in equipment was capitalized, and the P was capitalized in potency, and the beginning and is in equivalence, and then, of course, N, that was number. So if you write that out, that spells EPEEN. Everybody talks about their electronic weenus, and they call it the EPEEN. So Blizzard came out, and they have screenshots and everything else. You can look all of this stuff up on WoW.com if you put in, like, the April Fool's Day roundup. Basically, they have screenshots of characters in WoW, and you've got this little symbol over your head that looks like a piece of equipment or whatever, and then you've got this bar. And, of course, if you're a low-level character, the bar is very short. If you're a high-level character, the bar is very long. And they've got screenshots of this one, Torin, as he goes through his life, and his little EPEEN bar starts off, like, really small above his head, and then it just keeps growing and growing and growing until it takes up the entire screen. And they, some of the things that they said was, you know, that as you reach certain tiers, you know, with your equipment potency equivalence numbering system, but what you were going to get was a phasing effect so that you would only see other people that had the same EPEEN rating as you. And so basically they've got pictures of this Torin, and he's going through his life, and at the end, like, the last shot is him sitting alone, you know, in this big city in WoW. He's got this huge bar above his head that goes, and it's not horizontally, it goes vertically. It just goes straight up out of his head. And you can't see any other characters in this major city because he's in a little tier by himself. So that was their take on, you know, the gear score add-on. They did some other things. They turned their armory system, where everybody looks up characters, they turned everybody into Tuskar, the fat walrus people. So if you went to look up your character on April Fool's Day, instead of getting, you know, your pretty little human or your dwarf or your troll, you got a fat walrus person. They announced the BattleNet. BattleNet is the system that they're going to use, their online system that they're going to use to unify all of their games. They introduced a BattleNet matchmaking service. And they're going to try to put lonely gamers with other suitable partners. Probably for a fee, of course. They introduced the BattleNet neural interface so that you could just, you know, plug this device right into your spinal column and play Blizzard games. They came out with the Diablo Gamer blanket and body pillow.
Oh, that thing looked hilarious.
Which is, it looks just like a Snuggie. And then they came out with the Deckard Cain GPS system. Now, Deckard Cain was the mage in Diablo 2, and he was the one that would identify your items for free after you rescued him.
I really wanted that. I would buy that if they made it.
So they have a GPS package so that you could, you know, okay, at the next road, you have to hang a right and go past the tavern. I used to spend a lot of time at the taverns. One time, and he would do the whole Deckard Cain voice, and it was absolutely hilarious, so. These are some of the things that they hit on this year. Now, some of the other sites that are associated, you know, like WoW.com, WoWhead, and a lot of the other associated sites, they now have taken it upon themselves to do their own April Fool's Day jokes. WoW.com kept changing their name and the content on their site to different games. Just because one of the phishing sites reported aquariums, which there are no aquariums in WoW, but they reported player aquariums. Some of the guilds got involved and reported that they were breaking up and reforming with other guilds that they don't like. Some of the sites that, you know, focus on different aspects of the games, like the character roles, Tankspot.com announced that they were going to change to FarmSpot. So that they could indulge themselves in their Farmville. appetites. So it just, they went, Blizzard went nuts. The community went nuts. And on April Fool's Day, if you were looking for any real information about WoW or any news or anything else, you couldn't find it. It just wasn't there. It was just the whole interwebs were full of jokes. So that's what it is. You can, like I said, you can find the whole thread, the story and everything else on WoW.com if you just type in the 2010 April Fool's Roundup. And that's it, man. That's all I got. Cool. Well, do we have anything else that we need to yak about?
I can't think of anything.
Oh, big changes. Big changes coming to Blizzard. They're starting to announce some of those, like the real changes. After all the April Fool's nonsense, then they actually started coming out with some real information about Cataclysm. But we'll talk about that more later.
Sounds like a good post for next podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I got to get my review up for Awakenings, or Awakening. BioWare's not going to like it. anything else?
I believe that's it.
All right. Well, then we want to thank everybody for listening. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions, or you just want to rant at us or send a random email to some people that might actually read it, I do stress might, please contact us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com, or feel free to leave a comment on any one of our blog posts. We want to, again, thank the Blind Monkeys for supplying the music that you hear at the beginning and end of the podcast. You can find out more information about Blind Monkeys at www.blindmonkeys.com. Monkeys is spelled M-O-N-K-E-E-Z. And if you're in the St. Petersburg area, check out their website and see where they're playing next. So that's it. I'm done. Brandon, Brett?
We're good.
Adios.
Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Walking down on Friday night, all the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine. Till Sutter's woman caught my sight. It's hot late and I'm feeling weak. I need one with me extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. But it's dream mine, it won't take long. Whispering on the air. We're talking dirty. The words she likes to hear. Head on down and do drop in. We're just here to look for sin. Gonna play my cards, ace is high. She likes game, give it a try. But it's hot late, not feeling weak. That one with me extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. That journey mine can't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on air.